Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us once again as we face the issues. May I invite you to call in with your questions or comments. Your dialogue and discussion is very important to this broadcast. Our program is designed to run you, our listener, with a Q&A format that you can ask your questions. We'll respond to that based on the issue that we're speaking on at that time. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about issues, facing the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I don't know of any other place, any other book that we can turn to as human beings and find written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant words than that of the Bible. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, and in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, He has set forth for us an advocate before the Father, where we can come to Him day by day and moment by moment and allow Him to intercede on our behalf. We need not go through a priest. We need not go through Mary. We do not need to go through any other source other than going directly to God through Jesus Christ, our intercessor. And especially when we think about the question, who is Jesus Christ? We're going to be talking about today, who is Jesus? And a little subtopic, I reckon you could call it, Jesus versus Muhammad. Who is Jesus and who is Muhammad? And who is it that the Bible speaks of that we should worship today? And so let me invite you to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. During the course of this broadcast, a telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's called having a biblical worldview, a biblical worldview. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." So who is truth? Jesus answers that question in a declaratory statement when He says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, no better source book than the Word of God. No better place to turn to when there's a question or a sense of need for answers than to go to the Word of God, the Bible. You see, God created the home, God created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And so anything that we discuss, ladies and gentlemen, by way of this broadcast or from the pulpit, any pastor, preacher, teacher that's worth his salt should recognize that those three were formed by God. Those three institutions, the home, government, and the church, formed by God Himself. And anything that we turn to in the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you, find one source in the Scripture, any place you turn, it's dealing with one of those three institutions, one of those three categories. And so, therefore, a central biblical worldview allows we as believers to discuss any of these issues. And we need to do so, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the last of the last days that we're now living in. We need to recognize the need to be forthright and direct so that we can understand and others can understand the truth and recognize the truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said a number of years ago, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that very thing taking place today. You can witness it taking place any place in America, in particular in the Beltway called D.C., Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo, with a full line of landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowners as well as the professional landscapers. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power generation and equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, where can I find that? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flies. It's about a 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic American flag. Ladies and gentlemen, find the flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flag you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about today Jesus versus Muhammad. Let me just introduce it with an elongated monologue that I believe sets the stage for the fact of this broadcast and the dangers we're seeing that's looming over the Western Hemisphere that's called Islam, the dangers of Islam. And let me just interject this little thought. I get a little weary with the media talking about some politicians talking about radicalization of a Muslim. And there's always the question when there's the shooting and the massacres and the jihadist terrorist attacks. There's always that question, well, were they radicalized? Well, you've heard me say before, and let me, at the risk of redundancy, say again. If you're talking about a radical Christian, you're talking about a Christian that's radical in his beliefs. He believes the Bible. He believes Jesus Christ. He believes God. God's word is final and follows the word of God. And therefore, if you talk about a radical Muslim, talking about one that reads the Quran, believes that Muhammad is God, is Allah's prophet, and that believes that Allah is God. But ladies and gentlemen, during the course of this broadcast today, I want to point out to you that Allah is not God, and that Muhammad is simply a demon-possessed pedophile. Demon-possessed pedophile. He had 12-plus wives. One of them was as young as 6 years old. Thus, I call him a pedophile. Demon-possessed because on one occasion when he was adulated and problems and questions and he had spent days and days and days out in the cave, comes back in and tells Khadijah, his wife, that he had been talking with demons. Demons had been talking with him. So I use that pulled together. He was a demon-possessed pedophile. And so, ladies and gentlemen, yet today there's the belief that somehow, some way, Muhammad was perfect. Muhammad was sinless. Muhammad was a prophet of God. And that Allah is God. Let me just say this at the outset. Allah is the moon god of the Bedouins of that day. When Muhammad went into the Kaaba box or the Kaaba building and found all of the 360 gods, he tore them all down except one, and that was the moon god named Allah. Allah is not the god of creation. Allah is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Allah is not the true God at all. Allah is a phony, false God that is a moon God and is in the category of false gods. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world today of confusing ideas, conflicting ideologies, chaotic intentions and inventions of the minds of men. And we must be very, very clear about the subject of who is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And perhaps I could ask that question to you, who is Jesus to you? But I want to talk about who is Jesus in the light of what is taught in the Quran about Muhammad and about Allah and about the Trinity and who Jesus Christ really is. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today, many religions, including Islam, claim to believe in Jesus Christ. But do they? Muslims are quick to demonstrate goodwill, as I call it, for Jesus Christ. In fact, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, have an entire chapter on Islam and Jesus and what they say about Jesus. And I'll quote you a few things from it later in this broadcast today. Primarily, as we discuss this, I'm going to be dealing with the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran. I'm going to read to you right from the Quran, the surahs. We call them verse and chapter divisions in the Bible. They call them surahs. Some spell that S-U-R-A and some S-U-R-A-H. The Noble Quran has it S-U-R-A-H. So it's like Surah 5, Surah 4, 3-8, Surah 7, etc., etc., etc. And so we'll be reading from the surahs and the demonic book called the Noble Quran to illustrate and to validate some of the things I want to tell us about today. because I think it is important, especially at this season of the year, when we're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must ask the question in a broader sense, not just in the household of faith, not just in the church setting where we ask the question, who is Jesus? We need to ask the question on a very broad basis and to the general public and to everyone listening today, who is Jesus in the light of what Islam and the Quran and Muhammad and the Muslims say today about Islam and who Islam is, who Muhammad is, and what Islam is supposedly about. In fact, let me complete a couple of other thoughts. We're going to start taking our first caller. But Islam considers Jesus as a prophet, just like Moses, Abraham, and Noah. Islam claims that Jesus is only a prophet, just like Muhammad. Hear me. Islam says that Jesus is a prophet, just like Muhammad. But Islam completely rejects the biblical truth and the doctrinal fact that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. That Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh became a sin sacrifice for us when he died on the cross. Islam teaches that Jesus is only a prophet of God and not God incarnate, not God at all. In fact, in Surah 4171, he says, Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger of Allah and his word, which he bestowed on Mary. Say not there three is three, that is the Trinity, for all is but one God. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go to you surah after surah after surah after surah, where the Quran denies Jesus Christ as God and rejects the Trinity, that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful when we hear Rick Warren and others that's talking about Chrislam and that's blending Christianity and Islam and saying that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. We need to reject that out of hand. He is a de facto false teacher in saying that, ladies and gentlemen. It is denigrative to Jesus Christ. It is destructive to the Word of God, and it will absolutely destroy the faith of multitudes across the world today with what he is teaching. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Master Biblicist and Doctor of Alliteration. How are you?
Wonderful. I hope you're well.
Yes. You know, I'm just wondering, a few comments. The crescent moon is on top of all mosques. What do you see in that, the moon god?
The moon god, absolutely, unequivocally. In fact, that's the thing that's so ironic. That's the thing that's so illegitimate in the realm of Rick Warren and others that are teaching Chrislam and saying that Islam and Christianity are sister gods. In their own symbol, they have the sword and the crescent moon. And in that symbol itself, it validates the fact that they serve the moon god, which is not the creator controller god of the Bible.
So they might be considered lunatics.
You got it. I like that, lunatics.
or they might exhibit loss, lax, last, lunacy, liberals or whatever.
Loose likes lost liberals. That's right. You got it.
you know, when General Allenby took Jerusalem from the Ottoman Turks, yeah. I don't know how true this is, but he sent planes flying over Jerusalem, from what I've read. And I'm not sure if this is factual, but it's interesting. And he dropped leaflets, General Allenby, and they thought it was Allahby. And it says, as birds flying in Isaiah, so shall the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sivaos, deliver Jerusalem, deliver, passing over it, he will preserve it, and he will deliver it. And I thought that was fascinating. Have you heard anything of that?
I haven't heard that, but that's a good analogy. And the approach that was taken in his setting them free was absolutely phenomenal. And I think we've forgotten the roots of history and forgotten where we've come from as a Western Hemisphere, allowing it to come in. Now, Islam has already taken full control of France and Germany and most of the European Union and that whole mass of people. They have totally Islamicized that portion of the Western Hemisphere.
And, you know, when you were discussing Israel, not only did the Balfour Declaration, Lord Balfour, mentioned that Israel would be for the Jewish people, but the San Remo conference before the League of Nations, where there were major nations of the world, San Remo, and they confirmed the Balfour Declaration.
Yes, 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 yes.
Well, thank you very much. It's always good to hear you from you.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a great day today. Thank you,
you
for
too.
Your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jesus versus Muhammad. The question must be asked, who is Jesus Christ? And when you go to what the Islamics are saying, and we're going to dig deeper into the Quran as the broadcast progresses, I want you to understand, it's not just idle talk. It's not just philosophical rhetoric. It's just not an ideological bent. I'm talking about facts from what we find in their own book. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when I read to you out of the Noble Quran, I want you to understand the Noble Quran is the only Quran in the world. The Noble Quran is the only Quran in the world that an Islamic scholar will read, look at, honor, and respect. Any other Quran, in fact, there's some 150 to 200 different versions of the Quran that's printed for Western consumption, which is an absolute lie. It is a mock-up, make-believe of the real Quran that's recognized, embraced, and used by the Islamics, the Islamic scholars in particular. But ladies and gentlemen, they reject anything that is called the triunity of the Godhead, the Trinity. And they reject anything that is called Jesus Christ as being God. Islam sees Jesus equal on the equal plane with Muhammad. Muhammad is, Jesus was a prophet. Muhammad was the prophet after him, and even a superior prophet to the Lord Jesus Christ. Islam says that Jesus was virgin born. Did you know that? The Quran says that Jesus was virgin born. But the virgin birth in Islam is vastly different and completely foreign to the biblical record of Jesus' virgin birth and the concepts of the virgin birth and all that it connotes in the Word of God. Islam says that Jesus instructs people to worship Allah. But ladies and gentlemen, in the Quran and Surah 572 and following, let me just read you some of the surahs from the fifth chapter. We'd call it chapter, the fifth surah in the Quran. Let me just start out by reading 72 and 73. And then we'll look over further in the surahs and surah 5. Surely they have disbelieved to say Allah is the Messiah. Isa is the one they called for Jesus. Son of Miriam, they call Miriam rather than Mary. But the Messiah, Jesus, said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Verily, whosoever sets up partners, that is, in worship with Allah, they're talking about now the partners, the triunity they're rejecting again there, that Allah has forbidden paradise to him, and the fires will be where he will abode. And for the polytheists, that's the wrongdoers, speaking of the Christians, there are no helpers. Verse 73 in Surah 5, surely disbelievers, that's talking about Christians and Jews, are those who said Allah is the third of three in a Trinity, speaking specifically there to the Christians and the Trinity, speaking of the Trinity. But there's no God, none who has the right to be worshipped, but one, that is Allah. And if they cease not from their what they say, verily a painful torment will befall all of the disbelievers, that is non-Muslims, among them. And then in the same text in verse 116, he said the Surah 5 says almost the same thing in 116. If I can turn to that very quickly here in these moments. In Surah 5, 116, and remember, Allah will say in the day of resurrection that Jesus, the son of Miriam, did you say unto men, worship me and my mother as the two gods beside Allah? He will say, glory be to you. It is not for me to say I had no right. Had I said such thing, you would surely have known it. You have known in my inner self, though I do not know myself in yours. You are the all-knower of that is all that is hidden and unseen. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, what is being said, and by the way, when you look at the Quran, all you find is a paraphrasing and a gobbledygook of what you would find in the Bible of that day. By the way, Muhammad didn't write it. Allah didn't give it. It was the demon-possessed pedophile that sat with his members of his clan, as it was called in that day, around the firesides and had their fireside chats. Muhammad could not write. He could not read. He was totally illiterate. So anything that you find in the Quran that any Muslim says that Allah wrote it, I mean that Muhammad wrote it and that Allah gave it, you can laugh in a laughter of understanding that it's a lie. It's a demonic lie trying to prove what they're saying by saying that it was from Allah, and it is not. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Surah 18, 4 and 5, the Quran reads, "And to warn those, Jews and Christians, all pagans, who say Allah has begotten a son that is an offspring or a child. Number 5, no knowledge have they of such a thing, nor had their fathers. Mighty is the word that comes out of their mouths. He begot sons and daughters. They utter lying, and nothing is true." Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran is simply very, very clear. They're saying that there's no such thing as Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Jesus Christ is being divine. Jesus Christ is being deity. And later in this broadcast, we're going to look at a comparison and look at the comparison and contrast between Jesus and Muhammad, and who Jesus is and who Muhammad was, and what the Quran says. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Surah 19, 35 and 37, "It befits not the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son." This refers to slander of Christians against Allah by saying Jesus is Son of Allah. Glorified and exalted be he above all that associate with him. When he decrees a thing, he only says it to be, and it is. And then in verse 37, "Then the sects differ," i.e., the Christians, "about Jesus. So woe unto the disbelievers," that's all non-Muslims, "who gave false witness by saying that Jesus is the Son of Allah. For from the meeting of a great day," that is the day of resurrection, "when they will be thrown into a blazing fire." Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran says, if you've heard me right today, the Quran says that if you believe in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a part of the triunity of the Godhead, if you believe that there is a Trinity, if you believe that Jesus Christ is God, then you are going to be burned in hell, according to the Quran and what is used today by 1.8 billion Muslims around the globe. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Allah is not God. Muhammad was not a prophet. Muhammad was a marauding, murderous band leader, clan leader that led thousands upon thousands to go in and destroy lives and steal property and go back and rejoice in saying that Allah told him to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the farce. It should be rejected out of hand for anybody that thinks that what the Quran says is true. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Quran, since the 8th century, has been upgraded, changed, modified with literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, if I can illustrate it by redundancy, thousands upon thousands of surahs that have been deleted, depleted, changed, rewritten, and adopted in what is today's noble Quran. You can go back, and after the Muhammad died, you had the caliph system. Some call it caliphate, caliph or caliphate, either way you want to pronounce it, it's all right with me. Set up the caliphate, caliph system, and very much like the popery system of Roman Catholicism today. And in the caliph system, each time a new caliph would come into office and take control, they would call in all of the Qurans of that day. They would be burned, and then the new caliph would write his own surahs, write his own words, if you please, to go into the book that is today called the Quran. If you believe that it's from God, then you're believing a lie. If you believe that Muhammad is a prophet, then you're believing a lie. If you believe that Allah is God, you're believing a demonic lie, nothing more and nothing less. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam teaches a different God, a different Jesus, and a false doctrine completely. According to the Quran, Allah had no son. In fact, in Surah 6101, there is a statement that is very, very clear, if I can turn to it quickly in the Quran. In Surah 6101, let me turn to it quickly. I'm shuffling pages here trying to get to it. I have so many pages marked, but in Surah 601, it points it out very, very clearly. 6101, that is, if I can find that for our edification. 101 in Surah 6, it says very clearly, He is the originator of the heavens and the earth. How can he have children when he has no wife? He created all things, and he is an all-knowing and is everywhere. A de facto definite statement in the Quran that Allah had no son. In fact, laughably, I would put it, the Quran says that Allah was not married. How could he have a wife? And ladies and gentlemen, that is redundant because in Surah 73, the Quran says something very, very similar to that. In Surah 73, where there is a rejection of anything that is called having a son, they mockingly, laughingly chide anybody that says that Allah had a son, because they clearly state that he did not, that Jesus Christ is the figment of the imagination of the Christians and not of the Muslims at all. I want to read to you Surah 73 and verse 3, if I can get to it very quickly. My pages are not wanting to. 72:3, and he exalted, be the majesty of our Lord, has taken neither a wife nor a son, no offspring of Allah. Can't get any more declarative than that, definitive than that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're wanting to talk about today, who is Jesus Christ? You tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, ask your question, join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've been inundated with the false belief, because we have today in our political system, in our educational system, where Islam is pervading our educational process. Islam is absolutely dominant in the public school, the governmentally controlled public school classrooms, where your sons and daughters and our sons and daughters and grandkids are being taught about Allah as though Allah and God are the same. And yet you can't have a Bible, you can't teach about Jesus Christ, you cannot pray to Jesus, and yet somehow everything is okay to talk about Allah and to talk about anything that is antithetical to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad but true. We're in a society today where political correctness has gone awry. In fact, in Surah 112, 1 through 3, says this, "Say, O Muhammad, to these kafirs, that is, those lost ones, those that are non-Muslims, in Allah is a oneness, in his angels, in his book, his messenger, in the day of resurrection. I worship not that which you worship, nor will you worship that which I worship, and I shall not worship that which you are worshiping." There, throughout the Quran, ladies and gentlemen, denigratively dissing, as you would call it, anything that's called Christianity or Judaism. The fifth verse in that says, "Nor will you worship that which I worship. To you be your religion, and to me my religion, Islam." Ladies and gentlemen, they're rejecting anything but Islam. And yet there's the mindset today by Rick Warren and others that says that we need to embrace Islam as a sister religion. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of this. Islam teaches a different God, a different Jesus, a false doctrine. According to the Quran, Allah had no sin. Allah was perfect. Allah had no wife, and Allah had no son. And therefore, Jesus Christ is not God, and Islam teaches a false God, a false theology, a false doctrine, and a false Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, Islam also presents a false prophet, an individual called Muhammad. We're going to talk about Muhammad for the balance of the broadcast today. Muhammad is no more than a mere fallen, sinful man. But ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue Who is Jesus Christ, with a review of the comparison and contrast of Jesus Christ and Muhammad. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. A close advisor to Boeing's ousted CEO will also lead the company. Mike Ludig was Boeing's general counsel from 2006 until this spring. CEO Dennis Muilenburg was pushed out this week. And Toulouse, senior vice president of communications, will leave at the end of the year. The Russian military says its new intercontinental weapon that can fly 27 times the speed of sound is now operational. It bolsters the country's nuclear strike capability and can carry a nuclear weapon of up to 2 megatons. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has shored up his base with a landslide primary victory, but he'll need a big win in national elections in March if he hopes to stay in office and gain immunity from prosecution on corruption charges. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 46 points, while the NASDAQ is down 4. More details at SRNnews.com.
Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, who is Jesus Christ? I think there's no greater subject that we can discuss, especially at this time of the year, than to ask that question, who is Jesus Christ? But in comparison, we're doing a comparison and a contrast of Jesus and Muhammad, of Jesus and Muhammad. I think this is so vital in today's society, where our governmental officials are allowing the schools to teach Islam in the classroom, where you find the political move today in Washington in the Beltway, where we have today Islamic jihadist U.S. House of Representative members and in the Senate, where we have credits being given to those that hate the Jew and are anti-Semitic and those that despise the Constitution and against the United States government. And yet we allow them to be elected and sworn into office. And as they're sworn in with their hand on the Quran. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility for a Muslim to be a good Muslim and a good American citizen. It's an impossibility. We'll talk about that at the latter portion of this broadcast today. But if we think about, ladies and gentlemen, who is Muhammad, let me just simply say again to set the stage for this second portion of this broadcast today, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Islam presents the false prophet of Muhammad. He is simply, ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad is not sinless. He's not perfect. He did not write the Quran, as Muslims tell you that he did. He is not sinless, as they tell you. He's just simply an individual, a fallen human individual, a mere sinful man that, according to his own testimony, given to his wife after he had visited and had a long stay in the caves, he said, "The demons have been talking with me," end quote. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, excellent, Brother Young. But I left something off from what I called previously. You know, the two major forms of Islam, Sunni and Shia, Shiaism, and their subdivisions. One of them is the Alawite in Syria, and I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yes.
And so I heard it said Sunni, Alawite for the Shiite to hit the fan. And I'll leave on that note. Thank you.
Well, it is... One of the things that I've said for years and years and years, when we get to the issue, for example, of Iraq and the tension that we've given it for years of trying to bring about peace, only that'll ever happen if you divide it into three segments, the ones of the Wahhabists, the Sunni, and the Shia, and Iraq is the only way you'll ever have anything that would even be associated with the word peace. It's an impossibility. Each one hates the other. Each one's warring against the other. And each one has a different bent on what they say in relationship to the Quran. The Sunni, perhaps, are the worst from the standpoint of what you'd call radicalization, if you want to use that term, because there's an absolute animus and hatred for the other parts of the Islamic culture, as well as for all of Christianity and for all of Judaism. We're talking about today, and I believe it is very, very imperative that we as Christians understand and not embrace any form or fashion of Islam. And not listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, I'm not saying that we need to hate the Muslim person. We need to love them. God loves them. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his rich red royal blood, which is sufficient and efficacious even to a Muslim if they say yes to Jesus Christ. That's not the point. The point is that that's not what is taking place. That's not the point of the conversation with the battle that's taking place on a global basis. And you must keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the demographers have told us that by the year 2050, and we're at the year 2020, at the year 2050, United States of America will be dominated and controlled by Islam. And very frankly, I believe it will be far sooner than that based on the pace that we're seeing the transition take place in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just go through, and I have worked up a comparison and contrast chart that's before me that I believe we need to understand before we get to the major, broader portion of this broadcast and the discussion thereof today. And this chart that I have worked up that is before me today, have on the left Muhammad and on the right Jesus Christ. On the left, Muhammad is a creature. Jesus Christ is the creator. There's a vast difference. So you can't compare and say that Jesus Christ is just a prophet, just like Muhammad. You can't compare Jesus Christ with Muhammad. It's like, say, you can compare yourself with Jesus Christ. God says, be ye holy as I'm holy. And certainly as we analyze the life of Muhammad, he was far from holy. He's simply a creature. Jesus Christ is creator. When you look in the Bible at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then you compare that with Colossians 1:13 through 18, says that Jesus Christ created everything that's in heaven and below the heavens, everything that's on earth and beneath the earth, and everything that is and in its existence today and in the past. I'm paraphrasing, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ created it all. He is the creator controller. And you look at verse 17 and 18 in Colossians 1. He is what I call the divine superglue. Jesus Christ is the one that holds this whole universe together. And yet, the Islamic world will tell you that Muhammad was equal to Jesus Christ. Just like we have God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, their approach is, without calling it that, there is Allah and then there is Muhammad. Muhammad is his prophet. Then we look at, understand, ladies and gentlemen, who is Muhammad? Muhammad is simply a man. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Muhammad is a man. We'll look at the text in the surah a little later in this broadcast and show you how Muhammad even believed that he was a sinner. And yet Muslims will tell you today that he was a sinless man, that he was a perfect man. And they have believed the demonic lie, and they are absolutely far in left field. That indicates and validates in my mind when they say that, that they do not even know the Quran themselves, that they hold in their hand if they have one, and they hold it up and believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's not recognized, understood, or promulgated in the thought process in the dialogue and the debate about Islam and about Christianity and about the Bible and the Quran, the fact is that 88%, that's the number, 88% of Islamics on a global basis are absolutely illiterate. They cannot read or write. 88% do not know what the Quran says. They've never read the Quran. They simply believe what the imam tells them in the mosque. And ladies and gentlemen, let's just do a little comparison and contrast today for just a moment before we go further with our comparison and contrast of Jesus and Muhammad. The overwhelming majority of Christians today do not read the Bible, have not read the Bible. All they know, all they believe is what the preacher tells them. If the pastor preacher in the pulpit is wrong theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, then you have a whole society that's wrong theologically, doctrinally, and biblically because Christians are not Berean Christians. Berean Christians, according to Acts the 17th chapter, would search the scripture to see if it be so. What would be so? What the Apostle Paul and the others are teaching and preaching. They'd search the scripture and say, Paul, let me see what God's word says, and they'd search the scripture. Today we have anemic, illiterate, unlearned, so-called Christians that do not know what the word of God says, and as a result of that, they can easily be persuaded to believe the devil's lie and to embrace Islam and the Islamic teaching. And this is the reason it is so dangerous in our schools and in our classrooms that we have the teachers having training sessions where we have training sessions for the teachers, teaching them how to teach Islam. The overwhelming majority of our textbooks today, ladies and gentlemen, are the publishing houses owned and operated with the general editorial board coming out of the Islamic world, and multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, more and more being also out of the LGBTQ and Planned Parenthood community. How can you expect any education for our children in the public classroom with that kind of educational process? Muhammad is a creature. Jesus is creator. Muhammad is man. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Muhammad is dead. Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and lives on high today. Ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad is a liar. It's called being able to tell a lie, deceit. Deception is a part and parcel of the Quran. It is the fact that Islamics teach that it's okay to lie if it is for Allah's cause. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad robbed and pillaged. Jesus never robbed. Muhammad healed no one. Jesus Christ healed many. Muhammad had demons. Jesus banned the demons and banished the demons, called out the demons, and destroyed the demons. Muhammad was a pedophile. Jesus is high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Jesus Christ is pure because he is God. And by the way, you go to the scripture and find that Jesus is God throughout the scripture. Jesus Christ is called God in Hebrews 1:8 and John 1:18. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, Matthew 8:29. Matthew 16:16 and 17. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to give you a few verses of scripture. There's a whole litany of verses of scripture with each of these statements. Jesus Christ is called the Lord, Luke 2:11 and Acts 4:33 and Acts 9:17 and 16:31. Jesus is called the Holy One, Acts 3:14, which compares to Hosea 11:9. Hosea 11:9, the Holy One is speaking of God. And Acts 3:14, the Holy One is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the first and the last. Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation 1:7 and Revelation 1:17. And in, I believe it's in Revelation 22 also. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's impeccable. He is holy because he is God. And yet we have the audacity of those today that are trying to say that Jesus Christ and Muhammad are the same and Jesus Christ and Muhammad are equal. Jesus Christ is God. Muhammad had 12 wives. Jesus Christ never married. Muhammad had no miracles. And Jesus Christ performed miracle after miracle after miracle throughout the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, we're comparing Jesus and Muhammad. Muhammad was a sinner. And Jesus is the one that forgives sin. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I want to read you an elongated segment from my book. The title of the book is Islam Tolerant. It's your edification for those that are not familiar with this book. 25 chapters. It covers things like Islam and Allah, Islam and Quran, Islam and abrogation, Islam and the Holy Bible, Islam and deception, Islam and Muhammad the sinner. We'll read some of that in a moment. Islam and Jesus Christ, Islam and the crucifixion, Islam and Mary, Islam and salvation, Islam and hell, Islam and the Trinity, Islam and Jews, Islam and the sword, Islam and women, Islam and polygamy, Islam and human rights, Islam and liberty, Islam and tolerance, Islam and martyrdom, Islam and jihad, Islam and Christian friends, Islam and dialogue, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, every aspect that you could think of in comparison and contrast to who is, what is Islam and who is Jesus, who is God, etc. But there are those, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, every Muslim you talk with, if he's an Orthodox Muslim, if he reads the Quran, if he believes the Quran, he will tell you that Islam, that Muhammad was a perfect man, that he did not sin. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the writings about Islam and Muhammad says. Let me just read you on page 73 in my book, Islam and Muhammad the sinner. Islam says and believes that Muhammad was not a sinner, but when you look at the sinner in Islam, we must look at the life and the teachings of Muhammad. Further in the article, in this book, page 73, chapter 6, when we examine the prayers expressed by Muhammad, we can understand the depth of the sin that he knew that was in his life. He asked Allah's forgiveness, but Allah can't forgive sins, his past and present sins, because he knows that as a normal man, he's going to sin. It's inevitable. He does not make light of his sins. Speaking of Muhammad now, he realizes that he is a sinner and is filthy in the eyes of God himself. And of course, the Quran says Allah. However, he confesses his sins to a false god. That false god's name is Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a set of writings called the Hadith, H-A-D-I-T-H. The Hadith is translated from the Arabic into English with the parallel reading in the Hadith. There's 9 volumes today in the published volumes. I have all 9 of the volumes, 9 volumes, and each of the volumes covers a different title. And what's called the Bukhari, B-U-K-H-A-R-I, Bukhari, 8:335. This is where Muhammad confesses his sins. He says, "I acknowledge and confess you," speaking to Allah. "Pray as one can forgive sins except you. Forgive my mistakes, those that I do intentionally or out of my ignorance or with or without seriousness. Allah, forgive my sins and my ignorance. Forgive my sins of the future, which I did openly or secretly. Forgive the wrong that I have done jokingly or seriously. I seek your protection from all evil that I have done. Wash away my sins and cleanse my heart from all my sins with a white garment as from the filth. And let there be long distance between me and my sins, as you made the east and the west far from each other." Ladies and gentlemen, that's in Bukhari, 8:335. And it's out of the Hadith, Hadith being the musings and sayings of Muhammad. And ladies and gentlemen, he confesses he's a sinner. He's praying for his sins to be forgiven, but he's praying to the wrong God. And Allah cannot forgive sin. Allah is simply the moon god of the Bedouins of that day. And then in Bukhari 8:407, "Oh, my Lord, forgive my sins and my ignorance and my exceeding the limits, boundaries of my righteousness and the deeds that you know better than I. Oh, Allah, forgive my mistakes, those that I do intentionally out of my ignorance or without or with or without seriousness. And I confess all such mistakes done by me. Allah, forgive me." Bukhari 8:408. "Forgive my mistakes and my ignorance, and let my exceedings be limited in my boundaries and my righteousness. Forgive all my deeds and whatsoever you know that is better for me. Allah, forgive the wrong that I've done jokingly or seriously." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading to you from the Hadith, Bukhari 8:335 and 8:407 and 8:408. And those are the musings and sayings of Muhammad. Those are codified in what's called a Hadith, and it is where I'm pointing out to you, ladies and gentlemen, that Muhammad was a sinner. He realized he was a sinner. He realized that he needed his sins forgiven, but he prayed for forgiveness to the wrong God. He prayed to the God called Allah, which is the moon god of the Bedouins of that day, and Allah could not forgive sin then, and Allah cannot forgive sin today. Only God, the creator, controller of the universe, the God of the Bible, is the only one that can forgive sin. And Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh, according to John chapter 1, verse 18, that he might exegete, reveal, show forth, make known God to man. Ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad was a sinner, and Jesus Christ is the one that forgives sin. Muhammad was a murderer. Jesus Christ never murdered. Muhammad hated, and yet Jesus Christ is love and the epitome of love. Muhammad never sacrificed himself for others, but Jesus Christ became the sin sacrifice on Calvary's cross for sinners that's willing to confess sin and submit and surrender our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Muhammad saved no one, but Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, that whosoever will may come unto him for salvation. Yes, Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, and Jesus Christ is the one that can save men from their sins. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend Jesus Christ to you today. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, perhaps today is the day. Perhaps now is the time that you can say yes to Jesus Christ, not to Muhammad, not to Allah, not believing the false gods of the Bedouin era and of the Islamic world of 1.8 billion people around the globe today, but saying yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can forgive sins. Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine, that we could say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 17 in particular, the unit of thought begins with verse 13 and goes through verse 23. But in Matthew 7, 15 and following, Jesus warns to beware of false prophets and false teachers that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That is, they are deadly, they are destructive, they are dangerous, and they are deceptive, ladies and gentlemen. Today's news should show each of us where we're going in America. online news. France closing 160 mosques in radical Islam crackdown. France is planning to shut down 160 mosques in an effort to crack down on radical Islam, according to one of the country's leading imams. And they started right after the November 13th Paris attack. They started checking the mosque, going into the mosque, closing the mosque down. And some people say that's a dangerous practice. But ladies and gentlemen, if we know the enemy is within, if we know who the enemy is, if we know how to find the enemy, why not destroy the enemy before the enemy destroys us as the United States of America in particular? Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says telling Muslim kids they're meant to die as martyrs is clearly child abuse. Dateline December the 14th, 2019. Children under the Palestinian Authority are regularly told that they're meant for martyrdom. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, 3 days before President Barack Hussein Obama, the Islamic president that we had in the White House, just 3 days before Barack Hussein Obama left office, he secretly, quietly, without fanfare, sent $221 million of taxpayers' money from American taxpayers to support the Islamic jihadist in the Palestinian Authority. This article says, and it's a story time for the Muslim Islamic jihadist mothers. My son, we were not created for happiness. In my eyes, you're meant for martyrdom. Our weapon is Islam. Our ammunition is our children, end quote. Further, the poem tells Palestinian children, quote, why they are to die as martyrs. They are merely the ammunition for Islam, the cannon fodder with which to liberate and conquer Jerusalem, end quote. In the story of a mother that tells her son, who had been expecting a toy but received a gun instead, quote, Jerusalem is ours. Our weapon is our Islam. Our only ammunition is our children. And you, oh my son, are meant for martyrdom. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that could be read that would be have any greater sadness than to read that article and understand that that's what Muslim mothers are telling their sons. Ladies and gentlemen, I have before me a pretty voluminous article. Time will not allow me to broadcast it. But it talks about the Islamic's plan to conquer America in 20 years. That was their 20-year plan. The 20-year plan, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, was flushed out, brought to the forefront back in 2003. We're now approaching 2020. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with the 20-year plan for Islam to control America, to dominate America, this article says a refugee from the Middle East thinks he has discovered the Islamic's 20-year plan for conquering the United States by 2020. Quote, the following is my analysis of the Islamic invasion of America, the agenda of Islamics, and the visible method to take America by the year 2020. It's written by Anish Shiroh, S-H-O-R-R-O-H, Anish Shiroh. And he says, will Americans continue to sleep through the invasion as they did when they were attacked in 9-11? Terminate America's freedom of speech by replacing it with statewide and nationwide hate crime bills. That's plan number one. Hear me. Terminate America's freedom of speech by replacing it with a statewide and nationwide hate crime bills. Number two, wage war on words using black leaders like Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, and others, other visible religious personalities who promote Islam as a religion of African Americans while insisting Christianity is for whites only. Goes further to state, Arab Muslims who captured them and sold them as slaves. In fact, the Arabic word for black and slave is the same. Abid. Number three, engage the American public in dialogue, discussions, debate in colleges and universities and public libraries and radios and TVs, churches and mosques on various Islamic subjects. Proclaim how it is historically another religion like only another religion like Judaism and Christianity with the same monotheistic faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Rick Warren is doing on a national and international basis today. Rick Warren is saying that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. Islam is being allowed to come into the pulpits and have their call to prayer by the imams from the pulpit of Rick Warren's church, Saddleback Community Church in California. And that's exactly what we see. Number four, this article says, nominate Muslim sympathizers to political office to bring about favorable legislation toward Islam and support potential sympathizers by block voting. 5, take control of as much of Hollywood and the press and radio and TV and the internet as possible by buying related corporations and then controlling the stock and promoting Islam through that. And I could go on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, there's 20 points there. And I think you understand the bent, the direction that it's going in. We're fast-tracking the approach for Islam to dominate and control the United States of America even as we speak today. It is a sad state of affairs when you find that the propaganda is being taught in our public schools. Here's an article from the Thomas More Law Center that is uncovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Thomas More Law Center, a national nonprofit public interest law firm in Ann Arbor, Michigan, has uncovered evidence a well-orchestrated Islamic propaganda campaign aimed at teachers in schools and the school systems throughout Michigan and several other states in the United States of America. We found that the teachers were being subjected to two-day Islamic propaganda seminars where Islam is glorified, Christianity is disparaged, and America is bashed, and all funded by the taxpayer dollars going through the Islamic program. Ladies and gentlemen, we must understand, we're living in the dark days and desperate times. I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I want us to understand the need for us to wake up and understand that the Bible is God's word. The Bible is truth. The Bible should be the source of where we go and what we read and what we study. For the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathways, that we would allow the Bible, the word of God, to teach and to direct us in every life's experience across the nation and around the globe today. There is a need to understand the difference between Muhammad and Jesus Christ. Islam does not worship the true God. Islam is a false God, a false worship. Islam rejects the deity of Jesus Christ. Islam rejects Jesus Christ's crucifixion. In fact, in Islam, they say that Jesus was just a prophet. He's just a man. He is not deity. He is not God. Islam says that the Christians' belief that Jesus was crucified, Islam says that the Christians took a look-alike, one that looked like Jesus, put him on the cross so that they could be looked at as a martyrdom Christianity, and that Jesus Christ was never crucified. Islam rejects and ridicules the Christian Bible. In fact, I could go, if time would allow, to the back of the Islamic Quran, the Noble Quran. The last 25 pages in the Noble Quran takes verse after verse after verse from the New Testament, and they print it and then go back and ridicule it, mock it, and take it apart and tell you it's fabricated and it's false. They ridicule the Christian Bible. Islam rejects Jesus Christ as God's son. Islam teaches that Muhammad is a prophet and Jesus Christ is a prophet only like Muhammad himself. Islam teaches that Allah is God, and Allah is not God, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you dare let anybody tell you the word Allah and the word God is the same. Allah is not God. Allah is not the creator, controller of the universe. Islam says that Jesus will return in the last days. Listen to this very carefully. Islam says that Jesus Christ will return at the last of the last days and will stand side by side, hand in hand with Muhammad, and will lead the whole world to submit and surrender to Allah and Islam as their religion. Islam is very, very dangerous. Islam is demonic. Islam and Muhammad are demon-possessed pedophiles and cannot be trusted any way, shape, or form. Can a good Muslim be a good American? Theologically, no, because his allegiance is to Allah. Can he be a good Muslim and be a good American? Religiously, no, because there's no religion that's accepted other than Allah in the Quran. Scripturally, no, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, simply suffice it to say in these closing seconds, Islam is false, phony, and fake. Muhammad is not a prophet. Muhammad is not equal to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Worship him today as Savior and as Lord. Thank you for joining us in this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.